You work hard. Now play harder with the all-new Nissan Armada. It's big, spacious, and powerful. It features a twin-turbo V6 engine that delivers serious strength. Inside, there's room for up to 8 passengers, perfect for bringing the whole family along. With an impressive new engine, incredible towing capacity, and adventure-ready technology, this is the first Armada to earn the Pro 4X badge. Whether you're tackling tough roads or exploring new horizons, the all-new Nissan Armada is built to keep up with your adventures.
Off the ball, GAA.
He makes really, really good decisions, and he executes under pressure. So, like, that's what Limerick have lost, is probably the best goalie in the country from 2024 All-Star.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
You're welcome to another Sunday kickback, and myself, Stephen Doyle, alongside Keith Tracy, we were doing the Tottenham Liverpool game today, and I think we both said afterwards,
"How do you lie down in a dark room, don't we?"
I'd say Ange Postecoglou does.
Yeah,
it's a hard one to analyse. I ask you, where did it all go wrong for Tottenham? But like, there's a number of factors there, isn't there? They've got so many injuries. Their two first choice centre backs, Christian Romero and Mickey van de Ven, are out. Archie Gray did okay in there today. Dragoshin, I don't know what to say about him. He got cut out of possession quite a lot. Is that down to him? Is it down to the manager's tactics? He's got Jed Spence filling in at left back as well. Just so many issues there for them from a team news point of view. But for the way the team is playing, how much blame do you lay at the manager's door?
I think it's a bit of both. I think the players are doing things that, for me, is nonsensical. I'm sure we can sit here and we can talk about Ange's tactical approach and that they're attack heavy, but I think it was 5-2 within the game, and I think if Basuma goes and wins the ball in his own 6-yard box, and he plays a side with pass, 2-yard pass in your own 6-yard box, I'm sure Ange Postecoglou was not saying, if you win the ball back, regardless of where you are, play a 2-yard side with pass. I mean, it's the basics of the game. When the fourth goal, when Liverpool scored a fourth goal, Pedro Porro, Kulusevski gets the ball in the middle of the pitch. Pedro Porro can see it developing and thinks, well, I get on my bike and create an overlap. But Kulusevski doesn't have the ball under comfortable possession. He gets his pocket picked, and all of a sudden Luis Diaz is down the left wing, and you're just thinking, you need to develop that. You need to see that happening. You can't go on a maybe. Basics of they let the ball bounce. They stand on the halfway line. They're constantly running back towards their own goal. Set pieces, they don't really look too comfortable, although it wasn't too much of an issue today. It's all over the place. It's chaotic, but not a good chaotic. It's just absolutely chaotic. If you get defenders running towards their own goals, they're under pressure. And with Salah, Diaz, Jota buzzing around you, behind you, you're just constantly under pressure. And the one thing you don't want to do is being told to play. And look, I know it's a Roy Keane saying, but when you start conceding a couple of goals, you just take your medicine and just think, we can't win today, but let's not take a pumping. And that was his pumping. I know Spurs somewhat got themselves back into it towards the end, but that was more Liverpool taking their foot off the gas and Spurs deciding they put a couple of passes together going forward.
Can I ask, and I don't want to put you on the spot here, but if you were the manager of Tottenham with the players you had available, excuse me, how do you think you would have set up, or how would you have approached that game against Liverpool?
Well, I'd definitely had Porro staying at home an awful lot more, because I think Liverpool's biggest threats are on the wing. So the last thing you want is Pedro Porro out of position. Jed Spence did stay at home a little bit more, probably did okay up against Salah in 1v1 situations, but you got to keep the back four intact. You have to keep Basuma and Papasar intact as well. You want them there, but so often Pedro Porro goes missing into the midfield. Basuma and Papasar don't really work out between them who's going to stay in mind the shop. Both of them just go missing, and so often Liverpool would win the ball from a Spurs cross in. They'd win it, and you'd see the Liverpool attackers going and the Spurs midfield coming behind them. They couldn't catch them up. And for me, if you're a holding midfielder, keep the game in front of you. You don't want to be running around after the game. Keep it in front of you, keep it easy. You can see everything happening then, but so often they're running towards their own goals, and it's not a hard ball to hit. Even the defensive ones, when the ball goes into wide areas, especially at Trent Alexander-Arnold, you look, the Spurs back four get to the 18-yard line and decide, this is as low as we're going. VAR will get us out of trouble if anybody's offside, but then it's just a timing issue. If you look at Salah and you look at Trent on the ball, you start your run from 3 yards back, get that ball in there, and it's an easy ball to hit because you've got 18 yards of space to put the ball into, because they haven't dropped and the goalkeeper is still on his goal line. So a lot of it is nonsensical stuff. I'm sure Spurs and Postecoglou would have worked on that with their starting 11, but when the starting 11 is not available, you've got to try something different. I don't know whether it's lazy or whether it's naive, but your star players are missing. You've got to invent something new, just like City with Pep.
And we'll come to the manager in a moment again, but I'm looking at the Tottenham team and I'm trying to see where the leaders in this team, like Mickey van de Ven, Christian Romero, certainly provide a bit of that. We know Vicario is quite mouthy when he's playing in goal. He's missing as well. Where else do you see the leadership in that Tottenham team, the players that were playing today?
I do see leaders. It's not that there's a fact that there's no leaders in the team. I think Son is a leader, but he's more somebody who will get the ball and inspire by what he does rather than what he will say to people, you know, giving people a bit of an earful to get them going. But when Spurs get themselves into the game, they somehow go and nick a goal. Madison, it's a lovely finish. Liverpool play themselves into trouble. It's 2-1 with 5 minutes to go before, probably less than 5 minutes before half time. That's when Madison, that's when Porro, that's when even Fraser Foster, he's an older head in there, should be saying 2-1 at half time and that's it, we'll get in and we'll walk from there. But they don't, they can't keep it in, because I know it's a word, two words that's been thrown around about Spurs so often: game management. They play in the first minute like they do in the 90th minute, which is brilliant. If I get a Spurs game next week, I'll be delighted to do it because it's entertaining. But if Spurs were my club, I'd be pulling my hair out, because they've got the attacking players to hurt you. If they could just have some defensive solidity, they could go and do things, but they're all over the place, chaotic, going backwards.
James Maddison, you mentioned there, and he's a player who, we mentioned this in commentary, but he was left out of the England squad for the Euros. He made his feelings known very publicly. When he wasn't in the Spurs starting team, he also made his feelings known publicly. And then he's in the team, and in a game like this, like, am I being too hard on him here, or do you feel that maybe Maddison, is there a bit of flakiness to him, or I don't know how to put it, like, is he good enough really for the amount of complaining that he does when he's not in favour?
Well, look, he's a very, very talented boy. When you look at what he did today, he scored a goal. And sometimes as a player, you can you can look in the mirror and think, I've scored a goal, I was brilliant today. That wasn't the case with James Maddison. The goal that he scored, it was Liverpool playing out from the back, they nicked it, and it's a shot from 18 yards that any sort of half-decent Premier League player would be able to put it into the back of the net. So he did that, but in terms of off the ball, I don't think he works hard enough. When you look at Diogo Jota, who plays in a similar position, he will nick the ball a lot of times for you. Salah will nick the ball and go and make things happen. Maddison can open teams up on the ball, but I don't think he gives you enough off the ball. I don't think he's in the bracket of, you know, your top number 10s. Brilliantly talented player, but I think he goes missing every now and then. And like you say, he is a little bit mouthy. He can say things. People would say he has a personality and he liked that, but I think he's a good player, but he knows he's a good player. And you look at the likes of a Kulusevski. Kulusevski, for me, will walk all day for you, but he has that little bit of talent. And if James Maddison had Kulusevski's walk rate, you know, he goes to the next level. And I always think it's unforgivable. If you have the talent, you have the hard side of the game down. So just run around that little bit more, be a leader. And he's been around, he's played in England teams, he's played in the Premier League for Leicester before, he's been around.
So now, just to go back to Ange Postecoglou, Keith, Spurs have bounced from manager to manager a number of times over the last number of seasons. They obviously had those highs with Pochettino, that you would think trying to get back there and get a team that will challenge for league titles. I'm not sure if they brought Postecoglou in for that, or they just brought him in to win trophies or to get them back into the Champions League. Like, where do you see Ange Postecoglou taking this Tottenham team?
Well, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that they could pick up a cup. They're in the semi-finals of the League Cup, but in terms of challenging a Liverpool and Arsenal and Manchester City for the Premier League, I think they're a million miles off that. They could possibly jump on the end of the Champions League race, but I think they're 11th in the league now. So, I know points-wise they're not too far off, but in terms of their performances, they conceded 6 goals at home today, which means they need to score 7 to go and win it. That's an awful lot of pressure to be putting Son, Solanke, you know, it's a whole host of players under pressure to go and do. I'm not sure. I think the Spurs fans need to have a proper chat with themselves, because they've had the likes of Antonio Conte, they've had Mourinho in there. Probably not the best style of football, but they will win games. They'll get you up the right end of the table. Now they've got, you know, Ange Postecoglou, who's brilliant, very entertaining, great to watch. But are they going to win that? Is there any substance behind it? I'm not too sure. But look, I don't know what they want. There's only a handful of teams really who can win things. You know, you look at Arsenal, Liverpool, Manchester City, and just Chelsea as well into the mixer as now. Spurs, where's realistic for them to finish? I think if they were to finish 7th or 8th in and around there, I think that's probably about par for them. So is the entertainment factor enough for them? I'm not too sure. If they conceded 6 goals, they're walking home today thinking defensively more solid, we could have won that game. And I think there's a shelf life on Ange, I really do. I love watching him play, but I do think the longer this goes on, the longer they're so flaky in the middle of the pitch and they're easy to get at, Spurs fans' patience will dry out.
And I imagine Nuno Espirito Santo will be licking his lips waiting for him to come to play Nottingham Forest on St Stephen's Day. Liverpool, meanwhile, they will be top of the Premier League for the first time at Christmas since 2020-2021 season. It's a brilliant first half of the season for Arne Slot there. I say new manager, obviously came in at the start of the season. Can he have any complaints though about the performance today, allowing those 3 goals in, if we're being extra hard?
You could have a little nitpick at it, but I think sometimes there's so much chaos in the game that you're just sweeping under the carpet. I don't think Ange has the luxury of doing that because they were on the end of a battering, but the fact that Liverpool come out the right side of you, you can say, well done lads, don't worry about it and we move it on. But look, I didn't really see this coming from Liverpool. I thought it would be a Jurgen Klopp hangover. I thought the players who were running through brick walls and creating chaos wouldn't have the same feeling for Slot, but he seems to be a very charismatic man. He seems to have got people on side, and I love watching this Liverpool team play. I think they get the ball into decent areas and they try and hurt you very, very quickly. They will keep the ball if it's on to keep the ball, but generally, you know, there's so much passive possession. I look at Manchester City and think they keep the ball for keeping the ball's sake. Southampton under Russell Martin would have been another one, but this Liverpool team get the ball into where it is, i.e. Salah, Diaz, Gakpo, and he try and hurt you straight away. And the brilliant thing for me is I had question marks over the number 6, thinking they need a number 6 in that team, because the top end, they can be picked off, but Gravenberch, Szoboszlai, McAllister, Curtis Jones have been absolutely brilliant. I could highlight them and say the midfield have been the best so far this season. The attacking lads would probably give me a bit of a wonky look if I said that, and the defenders also would be thinking, well, we've been pretty good as well. So all 3 units of Liverpool have been absolutely excellent off the bench. They can affect games, so I don't see an awful lot wrong with Liverpool. The only thing is, will they run out of legs? If Salah or Van Dijk gets injured, you worry for them, but they're problems that are happening down the road rather than problems I'm seeing right now. And you know, if you're a Liverpool fan looking at how Salah played today, you must be thinking, give him what he wants, because he looks as sharp as ever and as dangerous as ever.
You work hard, now play harder with the all-new Nissan Armada. It's big, spacious, and powerful. It features a twin-turbo V6 engine that delivers serious strength. Inside, there's room for up to 8 passengers, perfect for bringing the whole family along. With an impressive new engine, incredible towing capacity, and adventure-ready technology, this is the first Armada to earn the Pro 4X badge. Whether you're tackling tough roads or exploring new horizons, the all-new Nissan Armada is built to keep up with your adventures.
Like, we've seen obviously Mo Salah, we don't need to talk about Mo Salah, he's been brilliant all season. Luis Diaz has had his moments, and they also had Cody Gakpo playing today. He's had a very good season so far, and I think the reason I focused on Szoboszlai during the commentary is that he's been criticised quite a lot by Liverpool supporters, maybe for not producing the kind of good form he showed last season, not for the full season, that be said. But I thought today his work rate was excellent. He was all over the place. He was breaking up play, but then he was getting the ball, using it really well. He got his goal as well. So I think that was the one reason why he maybe stood out today amongst all the other Liverpool players.
Yeah, and look, I always think Szoboszlai pressing, his work rate sometimes can have a little question mark over it. On the ball, I think we all understand he's a very good player. He can open people up. But when Spurs are going to keep the ball light, he didn't really go from back to front too quickly. You're encouraging the Liverpool players to come and pressure. And look, when Salah sets the tempo, I know Jota didn't start, but he's one that's very, very good at setting the press off. But when the Liverpool front three went after it, Szoboszlai just looked and went, you know what, I'll back it up also. And so often he would nick the ball. And if you win the ball 30 yards from the opposition goal, there's every chance you're going to score a goal. So Szoboszlai is one that I think will continue to get better and better in that midfield. And the one thing I like is they all interchange so well. You know, we can have McAllister as the number 6 and 2 number 8s, but they will just chop and change. And you know, I spoke about Spurs and Bissouma and Papasar not really talking to each other, who's going to mind the house, I go, you stay. The Liverpool midfield constantly talking to each other, you stay, I'll go. Very rarely will everybody vacate the midfield as Spurs do so often. So yeah, look, I think Szoboszlai's been brilliant, and I actually expect him to get better and better as we go on, which is probably not great for Irish eyes.
Yeah, that's very true. To ask you about Liverpool then, coming into January, because the transfer window opens, a couple of things. The three players out of contract, Alexander-Arnold, Mo Salah and Virgil van Dijk, should they be looking to keep them? What do you think is going to happen there? And where else do you think Arne Slot might need to strengthen to make sure that they, you know, they've got a 4-point lead in the title race now to actually see out winning the title?
Well, I think keeping the three lads in the building. I mean, if you could, you know, if we get through to, you know, the middle of January and all of a sudden the Trent Alexander-Arnold signing a 2-year deal, 3-year deal at Liverpool, it's just a little bit of a smack in, a little bit of confidence, or even a Van Dijk or a Salah, all three would be brilliant. And I think,
so ideally, think that, could that be a tactic? Even do you think from Liverpool that they announce those kind of extensions to give the whole
possibly
club a lift?
It's a dangerous game to play, isn't it? You know, if you have the contract signed and it's in your back pocket, then that's no problem. But if you're making verbal agreements with lads and saying, "Oh, well, hold on, we'll announce it at such and such a point," you're leaving the door open for a Real Madrid or a big Saudi bid to come in and entice somebody. So, look, I think all three is what Liverpool fans would want. If you could only take one, I think it's a toss of a coin between Van Dijk and Salah. I love Trent, I think he's brilliant, but I think you can go out and find another solid right back that'll give you a bit going forward. I know you probably won't find somebody who has his passing range, but I just think one of the best centre halves in the world and probably the best right winger over the last couple of years are more important to this Liverpool team than Trent Alexander-Arnold right now. But he is a local lad, so Liverpool fans won't want to see him go. But for some reason, I just have the little inkling he fancies Real Madrid. I think he's been vocal about fancying the Ballon d'Or for himself, and I don't think you get that playing right back for Liverpool.
Fit again, Conor Bradley, of course, as well.
Exactly.
So they wouldn't
mind Trent leaving.
Absolutely. To ask you then about Manchester City in the broader picture of the Premier League title race, Liverpool have a 4-point lead now over Chelsea after that win today. They're looking quite comfortable. We haven't really seen Liverpool too flustered in any games. In fact, I thought the Fulham match last week showed a great character about the team, that even though they were down to 10 men, they fought back from behind twice to get that draw. It was a really, really good point. Manchester City just don't seem to have that fight in them anymore. Like, it almost seemed at Villa Park yesterday, where they got beaten by Aston Villa, that the fight's gone. Have the players finally lost faith in Pep Guardiola?
I don't think they've lost faith in Pep. I don't think you could ever lose faith in Pep. I think he has so much credit in the bank with what he's done with football and reinvented so many positions and tactics, but it just hasn't been good enough. And look, I think you can get bogged down with tactics. I think, you know, anybody could go out and give you a set of tactics to go on, but if the players don't perform, tactics don't mean anything. And so many have been undercooked. I mean, Jack Grealish hasn't scored a goal in over a year. Phil Foden's been pretty poor. Bernardo Silva's been awful. Haaland has scored 13 goals this season in the Premier League.
Vardiol's the next top scorer.
Vardiol's the next top goal scorer. So you're going into your left-sided centre-half. And when you look at the players I've just named, Kevin De Bruyne also, Jack Grealish not scoring goals, Savinho, Doku, it's an absolute sin that Guardiola is topping that list behind Haaland. So they're all underperforming. Defensively, they look all over the place. Ruben Diaz is a big, big miss. I know people will highlight Rodri, and rightfully so. He's been brilliant. But sometimes in football, you're a brilliant player, you get injured, and you become a world beater all of a sudden. He's won the Ballon d'Or, he's been excellent, but he's become more important to Manchester City over the last couple of weeks with his injury. I'm not so sure. I use the word lazy with Ange Postecoglou. I look at Pep and think, you need to do something. You've thrown the players out a couple of times now. You've put Kovacic in there. You've put one or two other people in there saying, give us a Rodri performance. Not a lot of people can give you a Rodri performance. So they need to try something else. And, you know, the longer Pep keeps doing this, the more you think they're going to get caught out, because they're keeping the ball for keeping the ball's sake. People are pressing them really well. And with the tactics that Pep is employing, you need to be confident to be doing that, and they're not confident. Even Kyle Walker, we talk about standing on the halfway line, that's okay if you've got a speedster, but Kyle Walker seems to have lost the yard. And for him, this is not a criticism of his. I never thought he was a great defender. I played against him, I played with him, I've been in a dressing room with him. I think his number one attribute is his speed, and if he's starting to lose that, I think he becomes very average very, very quickly, and Manchester City do look very average right now.
I suppose as well, what I'm kind of thinking of as well, is the fact that Guardiola, as we all know, he's a very intense character. He's very intense in the dressing room, on the training field. Is there a time as a player in a dressing room with a particular manager who has those kind of traits where players could just get fed up and kind of go, I can't do this anymore with this manager.
Yeah, but look, I think it's a fair one. A lot of people have said that so many of these Manchester City players have been to the well over the last couple of years, that they've just hit a brick wall and they've all hit it together, which, you know, possibly is the case, but why not play a different style of football? If you can't, you know, strangle teams to death with your possession anymore, if you can't get into 70-80% possession, or you can but you're not being productive with it, try something else. Don't just keep trying the same things. And I keep looking at them and thinking, well, when De Bruyne comes back and gets full fitness, Savinho will get better, he'll start getting there, Doku can make things happen, Foden will come to the party at some point. But it's been 1 week after the other, after the other, after the other. They just haven't turned up. So I don't know what you do. There's so many millionaires in there, they've won so many trophies. Where's the motivation coming from? I'm not too sure. But, you know, do they need a little Christmas session? I'm not sure what Manchester City need to do, but they're stuck in a rut. Winning becomes a habit, losing becomes a habit very, very quickly. I know the Manchester City derby was a little bit of a smash and grab, but City team years ago, they don't let that happen. The word game management comes into it again, and at times City are playing into people's hands rather than doing the opposite of what they want.
Are they out of it now, do you think?
I would think so. As an Arsenal fan, I was happy to say, look, City are so good, they'll go and win the league, we'll be in a race for a second. But now that it's Liverpool, I feel like Arsenal are back into the title race. Chelsea obviously in and amongst it as well. But the Saka injury for Arsenal is going to be a big one. How long he's going to be out for with that hamstring will determine whether or not they're in a race. And I think it's that fickle for Arsenal right now. They lose Saka, I think the Premier League race is just out of sight. And again, you look at Salah and you look at Van Dijk, and you do think if you take one of them out of that Liverpool team, they're not quite as good. So look, it's still all up in the air. Liverpool heavy favourites now, but it could be anybody's.
Very exciting times ahead, Keith. Thank you.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Off the Ball, GAA.
He makes really, really good decisions, and he executes under pressure. So, like, that's what Limerick have lost, is probably the best goalie in the country from 2024 All-Star.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
You work hard. Now play harder with the all-new Nissan Armada. It's big, spacious, and powerful. It features a twin-turbo V6 engine that delivers serious strength. Inside, there's room for up to 8 passengers, perfect for bringing the whole family along. With an impressive new engine, incredible towing capacity, and adventure-ready technology, this is the first Armada to earn the Pro 4X badge. Whether you're tackling tough roads or exploring new horizons, the all-new Nissan Armada is built to keep up with your adventures.